How are you feeling this Mac world? Is it different from, too much different, not that much different?
This one is not, it's different because it's going to be probably the last, you know, real Mac world. And there's a feeling of sadness, you know, I feel very sad because it's a great community and I have a lot of friends here and I like running into people, you know, every year that you haven't seen. I have a great time, so I'm really going to miss it. You know, it's a really, really fun time that's probably not going to happen for much longer.
Mm-hmm. How about the WWDC? Do you think it can maybe fill that gap?
Well, it's for developers.
Exactly. And
you got to pay.
Yeah.
So it's not for the public.
Right.
And they were talking about it's not for the public, so that's the problem.
It's different, right?
Yeah, it's going to be different. Yeah.
Okay.
And Apple decided that it won't go to trade shows anymore. But there are people saying, and I'm quoting Cult of Mac, saying that maybe Apple would ditch Macworld for CES. So
right.
if Apple does that, it's a proof that it's something wrong between Apple and IDG. Do you think that? Do you think that will be happen?
Yeah, maybe, you know, but I think the CES might be a better fit for the new Apple, which has, you know, iPhones, iPods, as well as computers, mm-hmm. you know, and but of course it's not a public event, it's not open, CES isn't open to the public, it's only for the press or for, vendors and other companies. So, Apple said that it was spending too much money on trade shows and they didn't need it anymore. They were getting so many people to the Apple stores to see their products that why do they need to have to spend a lot of money on a trade show once a year? And then there's the pressure to come up with an amazing product
exactly.
every January, mm-hmm. right after the holiday season when it's too late.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think the timing, there was always a lot of pressure for the products, you know, for the timing of the products, which made no sense. And like I said, I mean, they have, now that they have all these stores, they get, you know, they get more customers every day than they get every year.
And also their website.
Right, yeah,
the online
exactly.
store, the Apple store.
But it was, you know, there was a time before the stores 6 years ago when the only direct contact Apple had with its customers was Macworld. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to buy a Mac at Sears or CompUSA, and you know, those companies didn't do a very good job of showing the Mac. You know, they were always turned off, and they were like they would crash, and the keyboard would be missing. You know, so it was they did a very bad job of selling the computer. So Macworld was important then because it was the best showcase for Apple. But you know, they really don't need it anymore. But of course, they don't care about the community. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of heartless.
Yeah, I saw your speech on the MacHeads documentary.
Oh, okay.
And you said that the community is changing, right? Because of Apple's really doesn't care about it, right?
Yeah, well, because of the growth.
You know,
you have all these people who have an iPod, but they don't have a Mac. They have a Sony or a Dell. So they're not quite as invested in Apple as the older fan group. And of course, they're the kind of people who come here every year. You know, this is the sort of the most loyal of the loyal.
So it's a funny thing because we as Mac users, we always want Apple to be successful and profitable. And by that, we mean we want Apple to sell more computers and more iPhones and iPods.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the other side, as many people are now going to the Mac platform, it's getting similar to the Microsoft environment.
Exactly.
And it's not getting, people are not as close as before, you know,
right.
as helping each other.
Exactly, that's exactly what's happening, yeah. It's diluting the
exactly.
community, yeah. And I think, you know, there was, like I said in that movie, there's a danger that Apple could become, you know, the next Microsoft.
Yeah.
It could become, big enough to do the same kind of things that Microsoft does.
I see.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a danger of that. And people project, you know, onto Apple all of these liberal, creative virtues that really don't exist. You know, mm-hmm. it's a big American corporation
yeah, exactly.
that doesn't have any sort of personal feelings.
I'm not sure if you were at Wired in 1997 when they did the famous cover,
Prey
cover. No?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And there was 100 tips no? to Apple to
yeah, right.
To
what to do? Yeah.
What to do? To Apple
yeah.
to do? Now Apple is one of the biggest companies in the technology field. As Rafael said, a lot of people is coming to the Apple not for the Mac but for Apple iPhones or iPods.
Yeah.
The community, the people that like me or and Rafael, they are, you know, carrying the piano all day to promote the Mac platform.
Uh-huh.
Are seeing a lot of people coming, and we have this new word for Apple. Do you think that Apple will still be Apple after all this? Do you think that Apple can retain the brand, retain the success, and retain the loyalty of his old community?
Probably, yeah, I think so. I think they will. I think it, even if they are contemptuous of the users are very forgiving. And
you sure are.
Well, you know, I think a lot of Apple fans kind of it's a love hate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't just love the company; they're also very angry and
yeah.
about
like
certain things they do.
The old motto: "I love Apple, but Apple doesn't love me."
Yeah, exactly. And they know that.
Yeah.
And but they're willing to accept it. And I think, you know, it's not just Apple, though. It's like, it is the Mac community, and it's all the other companies that are involved in it, you know. So even though Apple is the center of this universe,
mm-hmm.
it's nonetheless, you know, an ecosystem that has a lot more, you know, planets than just the big Death Star that's Apple.
Yeah. What's in the head of Steve Jobs right now? What do you think is inside his head now?
He's probably wants something to eat. I don't know.
Do you think he's sick?
Well, obviously, yeah. You just look at him.
Yeah.
He's lost so much weight in a year. Yeah.
Right.
So there's something very wrong. But
do you think it's this hormone problem, this hormone dysfunction?
I don't know. You know, it's tough. It's hard to say. Because that statement, you know, that there was no mention of cancer.
Yeah.
And I think it was what he didn't say was as important as what he did say.
Right.
And the survival rates for that kind of cancer, even after the operation, are only 60% after 5 years, I think.
See.
So statistically, his chances are, you know, okay, 50-50 maybe.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he one thing I learned when I was writing this book,
yes.
Inside Steve's Brain, was I went back and I read a lot of interviews, and I looked at all the keynote speeches he gave, and I was really surprised, because he actually gave a lot of information in the keynote speeches. He would step people through his thinking and what they did, and if you go back and look at them, you go, it's pretty candid. You know, he's pretty honest and open. That was the feeling I got. So, I'd like to take it on face value, that note, and say, okay, that, you know, he's telling the truth, and this is all we need to know, and all's well. I'd love to believe that, but I don't know.
Can Apple survive without him?
Yeah, it'll survive for, you know, maybe 10 years, maybe more.
Right.
But things will start to go wrong.
You think so?
Slowly, yeah. The big problem is if they get somebody in there who thinks he's Steve Jobs.
Okay.
And starts to fuck it up.
I think Scott Forstall looks like him and acts like him. I mean, he tries to be like Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he is the right person to be, like, with the sympathy and the charisma.
Uh huh.
Yeah. He's the right substitute, like, let's say.
Okay.
Replacement.
The replacement of the face of Apple.
Yeah.
That's the thing. No one's going to replace the face of Apple. You know, mm-hmm. No one, I don't think, even if you think Forstall is charismatic, mm-hmm. No one is as charismatic as Jobs.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, you know, the company is already 80% run by his lieutenants, the executives.
Right.
The thing I think that is going to be hard to replace is the new product development, you know, coming up with things like the iPod and the iPhone. Because even though he doesn't, you know, write the code or he doesn't design them, it's his reaction, his judgment, his, you know, instinct.
Which one will catch people's attention, right?
And what, and which direction to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
that's no good, you know, no, do this instead. Mm-hmm. Those kind of...
feeling.
Yeah, that sort of orchestrated, you know, leader of the vision, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, you know, it's hard to say because they have a very... Pixar, his other company, has had, you know, 12 blockbusters every year, a huge movie, and Jobs had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But he set up the process, or he helped set up the process at Pixar. They use the same creative process that they use at Apple. You know, it's very interactive, everyone is involved, every decision is debated, and they prototype everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, at Pixar, they managed to create great movies without Jobs using this process. And at Apple, I think, you know, the same thing will happen. They'll use the same process and they'll still come up with great products, whether he's there or not.
Okay.
Just one more question about your books. How are you doing here in the United States? Do you have any complaints about it? They're selling well? Or
The book business, I have a lot of complaints about the book business. There's no money in the book business. But
you made one available online, right? For free?
Two of Mac, two of iPod.
Yeah.
Just before the launching of
Inside Steve's Brain.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if it had any effect. I mean, they had quite a. There was a lot of downloads, tens of thousands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it had any effect on sales. I have to check.
Right.
Yeah. That was. I got that idea from a. Is he Argentinian author?
Which one?
Paul Coelho, I don't know how you pronounce his name.
No, I'm not sure.
I think he's from South America.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
So
he said sales went up if he made it available online.
But
he was
very famous, though. You know, very famous author and big international,
okay.
Big bestsellers. You know, so
right.
I think it's the same with like Radiohead or Trent Reznor. You know, these guys already have a big brand. And they can afford to give away
Coldplay as well.
Yeah, they can afford to give away their music because
yeah.
It just increases their fame, you know. But
okay,
if you're, you know, I'm, you know, not very famous, and so it doesn't really. I don't think it had much effect.
All right.
Is it?
So thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you
very
much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope I answered your question.
Congratulations on your work and your website.
Yeah.
And
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.